Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing my series on financial stewardship. I have a six-part album on this, and we are now beginning the fifth teaching out of those six. And this teaching is going to be talking about the tithe. You know, I know that many of you only watch this program once in a while. This may be the first time you've ever seen it. And I hesitate to just start teaching on the tithe without putting it into the context of everything else I've said, because there is so much misconception about what the Bible has to say about finances. And the tithe has been mistaught. It's been taught as a bondage. It's been taught as a work of the law, something that God's angry with you, God's going to punish you. Many people have taught it like I've actually heard people before that paid their tithes just like a bill. And they believe that the tithe was a debt, an obligation to God that you have to give. If you don't give, you're going to be punished. I'm going to deal with that more as I get into this. And they didn't expect any blessing, any multiplication of their tithe. They thought that it was only the money given above the tithe that is a free will gift. Everything else, the tithe is something that is obligated. It's a debt. You're robbing God if you don't pay it. And you know, when it's presented that way, then that totally voids the benefit of the tithe to you. Now, I know what I've said right here is already offensive to some people, and that's the reason I say that I really wished you could have heard all of the rest of everything that I've said. I encourage you to go to our website. You can watch the programs. I have 9 years' worth of our television programs there that you can watch, and you can get the last three previous weeks of this teaching. I also have the product there that you can actually listen to right online. You can get all of this, but there's just a lot of misconception about all of this, and I'm going to be countering a lot of teaching on the tithe, the way that it's been taught. I believe, going to be consistent with the Scriptures, but I'm going to be countering a lot of this teaching, and it just needs to be in this context. There's a reason why the tithe, my teaching on the tithe, is the fifth teaching out of this six-part set. There's a lot of things that need to be said and understood about having the mindset of a steward before you actually get to the tithe. And so anyway, please go back and take advantage of these materials that we've made available. Let's turn over to Malachi chapter 3, and in verse 8, this is a scripture that has been used and misused a lot to teach on tithing. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with the curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Now, these passages just very clearly say that if you aren't paying your tithes, you have robbed God. That's a pretty serious statement right there. I don't believe anybody wants to be considered a God robber. And yet I bet you that the vast majority of people watching this program do not tithe off of everything that you get. And according to this scripture, that's robbing God. Now, some people think, well, now how can that be robbing God? Well, it's because, again, most people see their income, see as this is mine, right? I earn this. This is my money. No, it's really God's money. God gave it to you. And God told us to give 10% to Him, much more than 10%, but 10% is the tithe. And the Lord told us to give that to Him. And so if God gives it to us, and then tells us to tithe, you know what? That's robbing God. I remember an instance. I don't remember all of the facts, but we were during one of our meetings here in this building, and there was somebody who, the people were coming forward and giving money and throwing money on top of a person and just blessing him. And I saw some person who had no money to give. And I went over to him and I said, "Would you like to give?" And they said, yes, I don't have any money. And I said, I tell you what, I'm going to give you this money. And I gave them like $100 or something. And I said, now you can keep a portion of it. But I said, I gave this to you so that you can be a giver. And you need to take at least a portion of this money and you need to give it. That's the reason I gave it to them. And you know what? That person, of course, complied with what I said. But what would you think if I went over and gave them, say, five 20s because they wanted to give? And so I say, I give it to you. Now, what are you going to do with it? And they say, well, boy, this is mine. And they don't give anything off of it. Well, that would be irresponsible. That would be, in a sense, lying to me or robbing from me. I gave this money to them, expecting them to use a portion of it to fulfill their desire to give. Well, in a very real sense, that's what God does to all of us. God gives you money. And I've already used a bunch of scriptures on this. The reason He gives you money is so that He can establish His covenant, so that you can have to give to Him that needs, so that you can abound unto every good work. God gives seed to sowers. He wants you to sow. He wants you to give. That's what the Word says. If you were to see yourself as a steward, and this is God, here's your boss saying, all right, here's this money. Now, give me 10%. Give 10% to the church. Give 10% to spreading the gospel. If you really saw yourself that way, then this is a very accurate description. You've just robbed God when you take all of that money that comes your way and you spend it for yourself. That's a strong statement. And you know what? This has been used to condemn people. Somebody may feel condemned right now. That's not my purpose. But somebody may feel like, oh man, you're saying I'm robbing God. What do I do? And so some people will come along and use this verse and say, see, if you don't pay your tithes, you're robbing God. And they will sit here and preach such a harsh message. Then in a sense, it makes people pay up not out of love, not because they love God and are standing in faith. They do it out of fear that God's going to punish them. I actually grew up in a church. Some of you may think this is an exaggeration. But I was in this Baptist church where the guy used to jump up and stand on the part where you put your Bible on the podium. And he would stand there and bend over and grab the microphone. And one of his favorite sayings was, if you don't pay your tithes, God will take it out in doctor bills. And he'd scream at the people and say, if you don't pay your tithes, God's going to put you in the hospital and take it from you. He's going to break your car down and you'll lose this money going to the mechanic. Your washing machine's going to not work or whatever. And people would start doling over money, in a sense, to appease an angry God. I think I used this example earlier, but see, that's more like the Godfather, not God the Father. Amen. That's like you pay hush money to Him. God, here's my 10%. Don't make my car break down. Don't send me to the hospital. That's the way that this is taught some. But let me just point out a real important piece of information right here in this 8th verse. In the very last part, it says, well, let me just read the whole thing. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. This didn't say that you're only robbing God if you don't pay your tithe, which the word tithe means 10%. This says you're robbing God if you don't pay offerings. Now, if you go back and study the offerings, I could name a lot of the different offerings that were commanded. Like there was an offering every new moon. There was an offering every time you had a male child. There was an offering that had to be made every time a woman had a child and was cleansed from her infirmity. There was an offering for the temple. They're just all of these things. I could name a bunch of them. I've never personally done this, but I had another man who said he went through and added up all of these offerings that had to be made. And he said that the offerings plus the tithe amounted to around 33% of your income. So any person who wants to take Malachi chapter 3 and say you're cursed with the curse if you don't tithe, God's going to get you if you don't pay your tithes. Anybody who preaches that is being hypocritical or inconsistent in their application of it if they don't preach that you have to give at least 33%. And you know what? Most of the people who are preaching the tithe as a debt and as an obligation and God's angry at you and mad at you if you don't do it, Most of the people preaching that aren't giving 33%. They just have chosen to focus on the tithe and they preach it that way. But the scripture here says you're robbing God if you don't pay tithes and offerings. What's the answer to this? Well, here in a nutshell, and I'm going to spend a few days teaching on this, but in a nutshell, let me just say that the tithe is a biblical principle that the first time it was really mentioned is the 14th chapter of the book of Genesis, where Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. That was 430 years before the law came along. And so you find Abraham paying tithes, you find Isaac paying tithes, you find Jacob paying tithes. So tithes were in effect before the Old Testament law. But Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 is a part of the Old Testament law. And this curse, you are cursed with the curse because you haven't paid your tithe. There is no more literal fulfillment of these verses than the law. That is a part of the Old Testament law, the curse that was placed on you if you don't tithe. And so here's what I'm saying is that the tithing, I believe, existed before the law. And even though we've now been redeemed from the law, we are still supposed to tithe because the tithe wasn't just Old Testament law. It's a Bible principle. Tithing is still a godly principle, but this curse mentality, this Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 mentality that you're robbing God and God's angry and you're cursed if you don't tithe, that should not be part of your motivation. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and let me show this to you. In verse 6, it says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." This tells you the way you're supposed to give. It says, every man as he purposes in his own heart. In other words, this is something you determine. It's your choice. It's not something that somebody with a whip cracks it over you and extracts it from you or forces you into doing it. This is something you choose to do out of your own heart. And it says, don't do it grudgingly or of necessity. What does that mean? Well, I think that saying I'm robbing God if I don't tithe, I think that would be of necessity. I think that that would be under compulsion. In other words, the Old Testament law used fear and punishment. In the Old Testament law, if you cursed your father and mother, you're supposed to be put to death. In the Old Testament law, if you didn't do everything just right, God struck you dead. But in the New Testament, we find a grace and a mercy. And now God still wants us to live godly lives, but not to do it because we're fearful that he's going to punish us and judge us if we don't. Rather, we live godly lives because we are so thankful for the love and the mercy that he's already extended to us. We do it as a fruit, a byproduct of a relationship with God. And this, I believe, concerning giving, right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, is the New Testament motivation for giving. You should give as you purpose in your heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. God loves you when you just give freely out of your heart. So somebody's thinking, so does this mean that I don't have to tithe? Again, the tithe isn't just an Old Testament principle. It's a Bible principle. It was in effect before the Old Testament. So personally, I believe that the tithe is still a standard. It's not the ultimate. It's a beginning place. I would say that giving 10% is a beginning place. But let me say this. It's so important that you start giving as you purpose in your heart. It's so important that you start giving out of a pure heart. That if you have never trusted God in this area of finances, I believe it would be better for you if all you could give cheerfully and in faith is 5%, then I'd tell you to say start with 5% instead of 10%. It's not a legalistic thing with me. Now, does that mean that I'm saying that you should never go above 5%? I believe if you start giving you'll see God prove it to you that it works, and it won't be long until you're up there giving much more than 10%. I don't believe that 10% is a maximum. I believe it's a starting place. But again, the principle, excuse me, that is given in the New Testament is that you're supposed to give as you purpose in your heart. You can use this guideline of a tithe, 10%, as a starting place, but you can give what you choose to give. God is more concerned with the heart that something is given from than He is the amount that is given. And I know that that's hard for some people to believe, but it's exactly what the Word says. Let me read this to you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And in verse 3, he says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." The word charity here is an old English word for love, God's kind of love that is expressed towards people. And he says, if I give all of my goods to feed the poor, think about what a great sacrifice that would be. That would be the equivalent of some of you selling your house, selling your car, selling all of your assets, doing everything, just divesting yourself and giving everything you've got to a homeless shelter or taking it down to the rescue mission. And you just start taking everything that you've got and you start feeding the poor. But if you did it not motivated out of a pure heart of love, let's say you did it because you knew that they were going to catch it on the national television and that they were going to share it and it'd make you look famous and you were trying to do this to impress somebody and get that pat on the back. If you do it with the wrong motivation, it profits you nothing, is what this says. So here's another way of saying this, that the motive in your heart behind your giving is more important than the amount of your giving. It doesn't matter if you give all of your goods or if you even offer your body as a sacrifice, if you literally laid your life down. If you did it for whatever reason you could come up with other than pure love, then it profits you nothing. So this is saying that God is looking at the motive of your heart more than He's looking at your actions. God is looking at the condition of your heart more than He's looking at the amount that you give. So put this together with 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. That you're supposed to give as you purpose in your heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. Personally, 10% to me is no problem. My wife and I, we don't even know what we give. We have, I think, 25% that we put into a give account just straight off the top. And all that is to give. But then we give lots of money beyond that. I mean, we give a bunch of money. I don't know what percent we give. I would have to guess if I went beyond that 25%, but we probably give somewhere 40 or 50. I don't know what we give. Anyway, my point is, a tithe is not a problem for me. I don't have any problems giving. But you know what? Some of you may not be there. And you hear my testimony, and let's just say I'm using this term, the tithe, and man, for you, 10% is an absolute figure that just terrifies you. I believe that God would be more pleased with you giving 5% totally cheerfully, saying, God, even though it's 5% looks hard, but I know I've got faith that I could do that, and I am cheerful with this. I'm happy about giving this. God would be more pleased with you giving 5% than He would to have you give 10% because you heard me and felt obligated that you're cursed with the curse if you don't give. See, if you have the wrong motive behind what you're doing, it voids what you do. So again, I think that 10% ought to be a minimum. But the New Testament says it's as you purpose in your heart. You know, let me give a testimony that there was this man who used to work for me, and he and his wife were making a lot of money. This has been 30-something years ago. And he and his wife together, I think, were making like $3,300 a month, which 30 years ago was a lot of money. He left that good-paying job and came to work for me. But anyway, before he came to work for me, when he was making all this money, he heard me teach these exact same things about the motive of the heart, how you feel in your heart. And if you are paying your tithe as a debt, as an obligation, you are avoiding the power of it. And because he heard this, he and his wife prayed, and he just decided to quit paying a tithe. Prior to that time, he had paid, like if he made $3,300, he paid $330.02 or whatever it was and just wrote it out like a tithe check. I mean, it was a bill, and that's the way he paid. And when he was doing that, they were always struggling. Their car would break down. They didn't have the money to get it fixed. Their washing machine would break down. They'd have taxes come due. They were just always struggling financially. They were making it, but it wasn't easy. He heard me preach on this, and he says, I'm going to give as I purpose in my heart. I believe that God has not been pleased with the attitude that I've been doing it in, and so I'm just going to give cheerfully. And he quit giving a tithe, and he just, whenever he felt like giving, he would write out a check, and he gave. And after 6 months of doing this, they had more money in the bank, more money in their savings than they had ever had. It seems like things were going really, really good for them. And his first thought was that, you know what, I probably haven't been giving as much money. I've probably been shortchanging the Lord. But everything he gave, he wrote it by check. And so he went back and started adding up his checks. And you know what had happened? He had gone from an exact 10% up to around, I think it was 23%, somewhere in there, that they had increased. They had more than doubled their giving, and yet they had more money than they ever had before. And so what I'm saying is, when you start just giving as you purpose in your heart, it won't be an excuse for you to shortchange God. Once you start giving with the right attitude, God is going to bless you and reward you. It's like the Bible says, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. We've all heard that. Very few people believe it, but we've all heard it. But it is absolutely true. It really is better to give. It's more fun to give. It's more of a blessing to see people's lives change than it is to have people give to you. And it becomes addictive. Once you start giving, it doesn't matter if it's 2% or 5%. And if you start giving with the right heart and doing it under the new covenant motivation of love as you purpose in your heart, not the old covenant motivation of you're robbed and you're cursed with the curse. If you'll do it under this New Testament motivation, it'll become addictive. You'll become so blessed by it that it won't be long until it increases more than just 2 or 5%. And you'll be up there giving the tithe, and then you'll be going beyond that. And instead of thinking, how much can I keep and how little do I have to give, you'll be thinking, how little do I have to keep and how much can I give? I tell you, it's true. It's true. If you would accept what I'm talking about, if you just try it out, it'll change your life. I've got a lot more to share on this, but just about out of time today, so I'm going to have to defer to my program tomorrow. I encourage you to listen in. And also, please get these materials. You can go to our website to get our materials. You can actually watch my television programs for tomorrow and Friday. They're already on the website. You can go ahead and get that teaching. You could go back and review. There's like 2 years or nearly 10 years worth of television programs. You can call in and get this album, this CD album or the DVD album, the very programs that you're seeing here, you can get those. So please take advantage of it. Listen as our announcer gives you that information. Call or write today and then join me again tomorrow for the Gospel Truth.
Andrew's teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in a 6-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1052C or DVD album T1052D when you contact the ministry. The fifth teaching in the audio CD album, The Tithe, is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD free of charge. Request teaching number TO19C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
I'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a partner with us. You know, it's our partners that have enabled me to go on television, who have enabled me to make our materials available to those who could not or would not send an offering and get it. And partners share in this ministry. And we've been talking about financial stewardship. I know that God is speaking to many of you. about helping us and being a part of this. I encourage you just to follow through with it. I'm not trying to influence or manipulate, condemn anybody who God's not speaking to. But I know that God is speaking to many of you, and I'm just asking you to pray about it. Respond. Be a steward. Do what God tells you to do and become a partner with Andrew Womack Ministries today.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd, Chicago, Illinois, May 7th through the 9th, and in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth Seminar, June 11th through the 13th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to come join me at the East Coast Christian Center in Merritt Island, Florida, if you live anywhere remotely close to the Florida area. I've been going to this church for over 10 years, and Pastor Dan and Carolyn Stahlbaum are just tremendous people. They're great friends. You would really be blessed. We're going to have great services. We've got four services on Sunday, 3 in the morning, 1 at night, and then on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll be holding services at 7 p.m. each evening. And this is located at 680 North Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island, Florida. I'd like to invite you to join me for our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be June the 29th through July the 3rd. It's at our facility here in Colorado Springs. It starts on a Monday night. We have a special barbecue for those of you that have children. We have great children's ministry. There are special room rates available at different hotels. So remember, this is June the 29th through July the 3rd right here in Colorado Springs.
Why not plan a vacation this year around the Word of God? Call 719-635-1111 for complete information. We hope to see you in Colorado Springs this summer.